I think that a live webinar is the best way to go for a while, but soon there's going to be a spot where it's actually no longer advantageous to keep doing it live because you can't say the same thing the same way over and over again.
Right, right.
It's like a different performance of the same song. And so there has to be this like zoom out, you know?
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? It is Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio, or wherever you are tuning in to. I have a special guest on with me today. I'm very excited for this. And before I bring him in, I just want to just tell you real fast kind of where it came from. I'm one of the facilitators at Russell's Inner Circle. And so, I don't know when this was, like 6 months-ish ago or something like that. Like, we all break out into our groups. And I always love meeting the groups, and each speaker, you know, gets up, and there's usually a little bit of a give and an ask. And all of a sudden, Sky stands up and he's talking about webinars. And I've taught webinars, like, just for some context, like for Russell on his stage for years, you know, and webinars, I love webinars. I do them all the time still. And this was like the first thing I've seen in years that was unique, that was potent and powerful, that was, I've never seen anyone approach webinars this way, even though I know it's how we should be doing it. And I was like, oh my gosh, please speak at my next event. So with that introduction, I'm excited to welcome to the show, Sam Kwok. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on, man.
I'm really stoked to have you on here, man, because I'm not lying. When you got up, I still have the notes right here.
Oh, nice.
Of when you were going through and sharing this.
Yeah,
no one does this. And this is what you're supposed to do with webinars, you know? So cool.
Yeah. I mean, Bill will, because when I shared what I shared back in Inner Circle, like, it kind of bewildered me that, because like, to me, like, I don't teach marketing, right? So I'm not like, I love hanging out with marketers, but I'm always in this like receiving mode of like, oh, what do these guys know? Like, these guys seem like they're way advanced, right? They're way like ahead of me in terms of the stuff that they're doing, right? I think this is pretty common in the entrepreneurial like marketing industry, where like you just feel like everyone has more than you do. So part of it was like, you know, like I felt inadequate in certain ways, but I shared this stuff because this is stuff that to me felt like kind of came natural, but at the same time, I'm in the YouTube space as well. So like I've been crafting my deliverability, content strategy, how to deliver in such ways like every second is like money. Right. In YouTube, like if you lose an audience or if you lose their attention because you said something wrong or it wasn't delivered the right way or it wasn't edited to the T. Right. So I started figuring out like video delivery of value. There's science and art behind it. Right. So when I shared this with everyone, like I thought it was like, oh, everyone should know this. Like this should be an obvious thing that I'm sharing. And then obviously, Steve, you're like, dude, that's new. Like I never heard that before. I'm like, really? Oh, okay. All right. I'll keep sharing it. I mean, I have no problem with that. So
I'm super psyched to have you, man. Yeah. And just for some, I think it's important for everyone to know, like, just like you said, your full-time focus is your own business. What is that? Tell everyone kind of what you do.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. So I'm in the finance and real estate space. I have a finance consulting company. It's a high ticket finance company. And then we have a real estate investing coaching program as well. So they kind of go hand in hand in many ways in this, you know, the value ladder, so to speak. But yeah, that's the space that I'm in. I've been using webinars for years, you know, VSLs as well. I've done the challenge thing before. It just didn't stick with me in terms of like my delivery. Like I'm so used to just like giving value, right? So I truly believe that webinars are not dead. I know there's people like, oh, webinars are dead, like kill them, right? Whatever. Bad webinars are dead, right? There's good webinars, right? That sell, and they're like money printing machines, right? So, but that's a little bit about like my industry. Like, I don't teach marketing, but I'm more than happy to talk marketing because that's like one of my favorite things to talk about.
So, finance background, you know, you obviously do a lot of real estate, and you're helping. You're also doing it. You guys have a big practice, big portfolio, and such. And then, so you're doing these webinars, and I kind of thought it was fascinating to see, like, I know this, I'm going to talk about stereotypes. So hopefully everyone was, you know, listening or watching now, no one gets like, you know, ooh, blanket statementing or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, as a whole, I feel like in the internet marketing space, there's a lot of focus on the ability to take a product and launch it as loud as possible, which is great. But then it's kind of like the doors close and then they close. You know, like no one takes the time to do all these automation and evergreen pieces. And that was specifically what really caught my eye with what you're doing, because it's such a unique, like it's what we should be doing, but I've never seen anyone pulling off the way you do it. Do you mind kind of like walking through a few examples without like, you know, giving away everything?
Oh, no, so
everyone go to OfferLaunch. Sam's speaking at OfferLaunch. Okay? But I'd love a little taster though. Like what it is that you guys are sharing.
So here's what I'll tell you. Like I'll give you the what and how, like for the how, come to OfferLaunch. I'll give you there all my recipes, all my secrets, like my methodologies. But like, let me tell you in like a story format, right? Cause that like it resonates better in a story. So 2019, I was once actually an affiliate for another company, another real estate education company, good company. I mean, it's great. They do an awesome job. I just had a different philosophy of marketing as well as, hey, I want to do something like on my own that I know could work out better for me, my situation. So in 2019, we launched our own webinar. It's like 1 hour and 30 minutes long, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. It's supposed to be 90 minutes. That's what everyone says. Well, which by the way, it doesn't have to be, right? So I do a 90-minute webinar. I had like 300 people on that webinar. I mean, it was like a big launch. Like January 4th, I still remember, I was like building up my list. I had like 50,000 people on my list. And I like, let's go, right? Let's launch this thing. And I literally had like, at the end of the webinar, I had my Stripe account set up. I have my webinar on Google Slides, polished, super like all the graphic design in the world, right? It's done so well, at least I thought. And at the end of the night, it's like 9:30 at night, like zero sales, right? Like I'm expecting my Stripe account to blow up with all these like, someone paid you, right? And I'm like, what's happening? Like, oh, it must be like, there must be a glitch. So I'm like checking the funnel, make sure like it's all working right. And nothing was happening. And I'm like, oh crap, like I messed up somewhere. So I do it again. I go back and see where, like why I lost it. But the problem was I did all this in Zoom. And not, I mean, this is like not a criticism against Zoom, but Zoom isn't built for webinars, right? It's, I mean, it's great for this, but I couldn't get any data about why did I lose people? Like, where did I lose people? And all this thing. Later, I found that was actually my offer, right? So go to OfferLaunch to learn how to put together good offers, right? Later, I found that was my offer. I was getting feedback from people. Like, hey, why didn't you buy? And that's another thing is you almost have to like face the resistance or like be willing to be criticized. Because I went back to the people and I had like 200, 300 people on. I'm like, why didn't anyone buy? Right. And plus it was $14. So I'm like, why didn't anyone buy? It was $14. Right. So obviously it wasn't the price. It wasn't the webinar necessarily, but it was more so the offer. So you almost have to be able to look at your marketing as a machine and look at all the pieces, like the bolts here, the cog wheel here. Right. You have to like look at all these machines and know what is breaking apart. And obviously come to OfferLaunch because I'll show you how to do that and where to get the data. But like, that's one thing you have to know. So over time, like fast forward, I start making tweaks to my offer and the webinar because I kind of feel like they're like one and the same. Like how you present the webinar ultimately kind of molds your offer and how you mold your offer molds the webinar, right? It's a weird chicken or the egg scenario. Like, do you mold the offer to build your webinar or do you build a webinar to mold the offer, right? So for me, it was kind of both. So I think it was like June of that same year where I kind of cracked the code. I got a couple sales coming in. And I think it was by the end of the year, I had somewhat of a healthy conversion, like 20% of people attending the webinar to book a call. But that was all like just in that first year of like using the same webinar, same slides, adjusting here and there, answering some objections that I've been picking up from emails, right? So, I mean, at first, the webinar bombed. I mean, it was terrible. It was like, I think I still have the original slide somewhere. I gotta dig it up to prepare for this presentation and show you what it looked like. But it was bad. It was terrible.
I think it's powerful that you said, you know, you look at it like a machine and you know, I'm really big on the idea that a sales funnel, we don't call it a marketing funnel for a reason.
Right.
It holds a sales function. But I think people a lot of times will treat it as a marketing piece. And like, oh, so a funnel really isn't about marketing. It just captures the effects of marketing. But not many people look at their stuff like a machine. And I think that that's such a unique thing to go really lean into. Like, I don't know, tell us a little more about that. Like, how does it, how does the, how do you treat the webinar like a machine?
Yeah, I mean, I look at different components, right? There's not like a seven different components for the webinar. It really right. depends, right? So one component I'm looking at is retention, right? Like retention has a lot to do with, I mean, you look at a really powerful movie or a favorite TV show you like, you got to build suspense. I know webinar, like you're saying, oh, webinar, like it's not supposed to be like very creative and entertaining. Well, I mean, I say, yes, it has to be entertaining. It has to be.
Why not?
Yeah. Got it. Like when you're selling, you have to be able to capture the attention. So retention is something I look at for sure. The second thing is I look at also sequencing, because what you say in what order, it's like stories, right? You got a hook and then get them in this hook. You get the setup going. You tell them the climax, right? You got to have put it in a sequence. So you look at sequencing as well. Like, do I have my webinar in the pieces of it in the right sequence in such that like I'm catching someone at the right time for different objections or questions. Like I try to like step into the attendee's shoes and go, okay, at this slide, what are they asking? What should they be feeling? What should they be thinking about? What objection precedes me explaining this? Right. So I'll give an example, like our webinar, how to pay off your mortgage in 5 to 7 years. Like getting into that, like the title itself is very like dramatic demonstration-ish, right? It's like, I'm going to show you how to magically turn this mortgage into 5 to 7 years, right? It just feels very like magic feel. But before that, like in the webinar, I have to explain why they should do that in the first place, right? So there's mechanisms for like sequencing of like, I can go directly into like, let me show you how to do this, right? But then people are thinking, okay, why would I do that in the first place, right? Why should I pursue this vehicle in the first place? So I have to overcome that, then move on to the next thing, which is, okay, let me show you now, like now that you know that you should pay off your mortgage, you know why, here's the vehicle and why the vehicle is awesome. So it follows very much of what Russell's Perfect Webinar, right? It follows that, but you have to look even deeper. Like, do my audience even want the vehicle in the first place? Or why should they pick the vehicle in the first place, right? So it's like, you almost have to have this like mass empathy going, where like you could kind of almost read people's mind at the stage. Like you have to put yourself out of the webinar and go look at this objectively and go, all right, like in this part of the webinar, what are they thinking? Like, are they questioning my integrity? Are they questioning my credibility? Or are they... like, do they have this question? Like, so I try to get that data as much as possible, even just like running the webinar itself. So that's one, that's the other aspect to it. There's the objection aspect, like the like what you're talking about, like sales, like answering objections. I mean, you'll never be able to answer all the objections, but just enough to get them to say yes to the next thing, which for us happens to be the phone call, right? Like just enough of trust and credibility and belief to go, yeah, I think there's something here I can dig more into. So there's a sales component to it. I mean, there's also component of desire, like psychological desire. One of the things that I will talk about at the offer launch is a concept called drive sales, which actually comes from a guy named Woody Woodward. All credit to Woody. So adding that into the webinar as well.
Using drive in the back of it.
In the webinar, yeah, within the webinar.
I didn't recognize that. I'm familiar with drive. I didn't realize that's where some of that, that's fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so cool. Like ultimately when you're doing, if you do like closing and stacking. So for me, I close into a phone call. I close and stack to go, hey, you know, we're going to show you X, Y, Z so that you can, right? You guys may have heard that term before, so that you can, but you're also hitting the five components of the drive, which is, again, won't spill the sauce here, but you have to understand the buying personas, right? The motivation for why people say yes. Is it their like family relationship to create influence? Is it the need to feel the freedom and the need to do it their own way, right? Is it the need for control? Is it the need for results? Like you have to, it's almost like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but for buying and selling, right?
Yeah.
So I embed that into the webinar.
Wow.
Because ultimately, like how I see my products and offers, like let's say you sell, I don't know, Band-Aid, right? You're not selling Band-Aid for the sake of selling Band-Aid. You're selling people feeling of safety and security, knowing that they're not going to bleed out to death, right? Like you're selling something else. So you almost have to like constantly hit that button, like those buttons based on their buying and buying persona. So the whole webinar for me, like what I have in mind the whole entire time I'm doing the webinar is I'm not teaching these people how to pay off their mortgage. I'm giving them a vehicle for freedom and peace of mind, right? Like that's what you need to, like you need to identify and really get to know your audience. So that's another component, like understanding your audience really well, the psychographics, demographics, like what are their desires? So, I mean, there's lots of different components I can go into making a webinar happen, but those are some of the few that I could share now. The rest you come to off launch and you get it. Right. So
So you get the sales piece, obviously. I didn't realize you're using Drive in it, but that makes
totally
sense. One of the things that really caught my eye though, and specifically where I was like, oh man, I gotta ask Sam, was the way
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
It's how you analyze the webinar after it's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part where I was just like, I really feel like that's what you're supposed to do. That's what all, you know,
right.
And I do ish, but you right. made like, you made it like SOP. Like this is how I analyze that webinar.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mind sharing just a little bit about that as well? Cause that was just, that was awesome.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it all comes down to obviously some of the tools that you're using. As long as, I mean, it really doesn't matter what tool, like as long as it gives you the raw data you need. So like I'm looking at the retention graph. So a retention graph, it's a graph of like how many people left at a certain time, like how many people are still sticking around and watching your webinar. And you'll see it, like it looks like a slope. And then like a good webinar should stay relatively flat for the most part. I mean, you'll lose maybe 30% of the people right out of the gate just because they look at this and go, oh, this isn't for me, whatever. So you see like a drop and then you'll get like this nice flat hockey stick. And then there's a little bit of drop off at the end because that's, you know, people typically leaving after they hear your call to action. So I look at that and I look for like either drops, like massive drops, or I look at like big spikes and go, okay, why was there a big spike or why was there like a big drop? Like, what did I say there? And I go back to like that exact timestamp. And if it was like a really bad joke or like a maybe made a comment that was a bit controversial or maybe have been offensive to some people, and I go, I'm like, oh crap. All right, I gotta go edit that out. Right. So I edit it out and then relaunch my webinar and see what happens. And then look at the data and go, okay, now it stays flat for that area. I'm good. I'm not losing people. And it's see all these things like really small things but they compound over time, right? Because like if you have 100 people registered and first go around, maybe you lose 50 people. Well, the next time you do it, you make a little improvements and maybe you have 55 people stick around and then make a little bit more improvement. Now you have 60 people sticking around, right? So it's these like little iterations. You almost have to like treat your webinar like an app, right? You're always making updates. Like you're looking for bugs and glitches, like make updates to your webinar and launch it, right? So, I mean, I must be my like at least like version 25 or something with my webinar. It's gotta be more than that. Like I've gone so many times, like A/B testing colors, A/B testing call to action message, A/B testing images that I'm using, A/B testing like each every slide where I know are gonna be really crucial for the person to know to close. Every slide, every word, every picture has to lead to conversion, like bar none. So yeah, I mean that's honestly how I look at every piece of the webinar machine.
That's awesome. So yeah, that retention graph, you know, you were showing that retention graph and showing like where these drops are, where these spikes are. And, you know, it's interesting because if I was going to say something, let's say I saw a drop and it was a timestamp of me saying something about capitalism, you know,
right.
I might be prone to leave it in there because I'm like, hey, I'm scaring away the wrong, you know, the right.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm filtering.
Right.
And so I imagine there's times where you're not fixing a drop. You're like, hey, this is good. I'm actually getting my tribe to self-select. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I'm not fixing the drop for like when I do my call to action because you naturally will get people like, oh, yeah, there's a sales pitch. I'm, you know, this is the time I walk out. That's, you know, it's inevitable, right? Those are things that you're gonna just see a drop anyways. The other things that the other set of data I'm looking at is what percentage of people are still around when you're doing the call to action, right? So when you're starting to stack or when you're starting to close or when you're starting to go, hey, here's what you'll get, blah, 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 right? Know how many, what percentage of people are still there. And that's another number I'm looking at and going, okay, how can I increase that number to like, if it's 65, how could I get that to 70, right? How could I get more people? And like, you'll notice the drastic impact it has, like if you're running ads, like it has a huge impact on ad cost, cost per book calls, even cost per acquisition. Like just that tiny little needle that you move in the webinar makes huge impact. What else am I looking at? So I'm looking at like obviously drop off rate for the first 30 seconds. Looking at even like the show up rate, right? Look at that because if people register and they don't show up, that's another big gap there. I mean, there's a ton we can get into, but.
One of the things that I loved also you sharing about was I got like two more questions I really want to go into here.
Oh yeah, go ahead, go for it.
Showing how the way you time pattern interrupts, I thought was hilarious. Like because you don't do webinars with your face showing on the side, right? That way you can like tweak and edit the copy or the audio.
I actually don't. I actually just do slides and voice because it's easier to splice things out.
Aren't you doing like little sound effects in the background that are artificial after point and things like that?
So that's another thing I do. And I got this from, this idea isn't for me. Like I didn't wake up with a toilet thought or a shower thought. Like this came from a gentleman named Nathan Laca. He's like big in the SaaS world. I think he's got like a magazine for software as a service. Brilliant guy. And I can't believe like not enough people watched. There's a video of him doing this. But like he breaks it down to where like, dude, you're like, you literally have the power to introduce auditory, visual and like audience participation pattern interrupts, right? Like why don't you use the tool, right? Like why not, even like in post and editing, you literally could do everything and anything you want to make it happen, right? So one of the things he talks about is in the first, like one third of your webinar, like if your webinar is, let's say 60 minutes long, the first 20 minutes, you're really fighting for the audience's time and their commitment. Cause if you can get them to be like 20 minutes in, like you got them, like they're going to be around for a while. So in that first 20 minutes, you're just like bombing with pattern interrupts, but not like, don't be like, just like, don't pattern interrupt for the sake of pattern interrupting, like do it in an elegant way. So one of the ways I'll give you an example, like I'll give you one example and I'll save the rest, is like, if you guys are watching this or listening to this, like I'll give you an example, right? Hey, just look at what Steve's wearing. Like, you guys all see that? Like, what does it say? Oh, it says says capitalist pig, right? So I'm like hovering my mouse over it. So in the webinar, what I'm doing is because I know by about 10 minute mark, people are going to switch to another screen or they're looking at Twitter. They're going like this and they're listening to the webinar, right? They're just like, wait, what was that? Right. So what I'm doing is in about 10 minute mark, I'm like, hey, okay. So you guys see this right here? You see this chart? Look what color that is. See that? So that's the interest like cost, right? So like I get people's attention, like visual pattern interrupt, right? Or I'll do something like super color. Like if you ever see, for those with kids, the YouTube channel Cocomelon, like I know this seems like a weird thing, but if you watch Cocomelon, man, oh my gosh, they are good.
They know what
master,
they're doing.
Like a master at pattern interrupt. I'm like, okay, they're switching scenes every 5 seconds. Look at the colors, like super vibrant. Like they switch every 5 seconds. That's all like pattern interrupt, right? For these like 4-year-olds that have like almost no attention span. Another thing you need to study when it comes to visual pattern interrupt is go sit in a casino. I know some of you guys may have like religious limitations on that, but go sit inside of a casino and watch the master of pattern interrupts and like retention mastery. Casinos do it really well. Like they got the really like flashy colors when you win something, the sound too, right? Like da 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 da, right? Like very celebratory. They are the king of dopamine like inducing machine, right? So your webinar needs to do similar things, not in a very unethical way. Like don't be selling, you know, crappy stuff using these stuff, but like pay attention. Like you have these audio visual editing like tools at your disposal to get more retention as well as more sales, right? Using these visual and auditory pattern interrupts. So you can time them too. Like look at your retention graph and go, oh, I'm seeing some drops here. Add some pattern interrupts in there, right? And see what it does. And I like to stack like auditory, visual, and audience participation or micro compliance, right? Those things to add this whole package of psychological, you know, strategy to get people to stick around longer so that they can get to my call to action. So again, that's one of many ways. I'll share more, but yeah, that's one of the things I do in my webinars.
It's huge. It's really huge. Maybe that's what we should call your speech at offer launch, the unique pattern interrupts that increase retention. I mean, to hear the list of things that you do to keep like to keep the pattern interrupt, to keep the retention high, that's going to be, I think, really, really powerful for people.
Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome. I have one more question I just wanted to touch on here with you and hear your opinion. My first $1 million webinar, I remember I did it like 20 times live and then I automated it. And it seems like you have a similar approach where you're doing the webinar live for a while and then you automate it and you stop looking. I think that a live webinar is the best way to go for a while, but soon, not crazy early, but soon there's going to be a spot where it's actually no longer advantageous to keep doing it live because you're saying, you can't say the same thing the same way over and over again.
Right.
It's like a different performance of the same song. And so there has to be this like zoom out, you know, instead of just looking at just like, you know, does the offer work? Does my hook work? Does the, you know, and you zoom out to like the webinar and the machine as a whole. When do you feel like is, because I get asked this all the time, what do you feel like is the best signals for saying, okay, stop doing it live? It actually literally, you're losing money by not automating because you change every time.
So, I mean, I kind of went the Russell route of doing like the live webinar 100 times before, not because like I didn't want to or wanted to. It was more so like, it was more of a necessity, I felt like, because at the time I didn't have the tool, or at least the tools were limiting for like a live automated webinar, right? But now there are tools, right? Like that make it really, really what like, live webinar feels like a live webinar. It feels like you're in the zone of like live webinar. What I did find to be advantageous with doing these repetitions is that it's really not so much so you're getting data, but more so like to improve your delivery. I found myself at one point, kid you not, I closed my eyes the whole entire time and I had my mouse like this. I'm like, I'm doing my webinar, click next slide and do my webinar because I knew what the next slide
was. With your eyes closed the whole time?
I was so tired. I'm like, oh, I need to sleep. Like, I feel like sleeping, but like I was in the state, right? So I still sounded really energetic, right? Enthusiastic and all that. But I had it recorded because it was so hilarious. Like I was like this. I'm like, ah, and then blah, 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 blah. And then I click blah, 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 blah. And then I got to that point because I was like repetition. But what I realized was like, at that point, like I didn't really care. Like I got it. Like what I got it at the back end, but it was really more for me. Right. So I think if you're fumbling, like if you're going through a webinar and you go through a live webinar and you're like, but then, oh crap, hold on 1 second, guys. Like, let me do that part again. And then, like, if you're fumbling through your webinar, then it tells me you need more reps. If you can do it and you can land it, like stick it. And if you're doing webinars for a while, I don't really know or feel the reason for a repetitive live webinar. I mean, sure, I'll do one or twice just to kind of like test the concept of things. But I think after, honestly, once you have a proven concept, you can kind of record it and then build off of that, like splice things off if you need to. So if you feel like minute 3 to minute 5 just feels really weak, re-record it, redo it, record it and splice it in. You know, obviously there's audio techniques you have to do to make it sound the same, so it doesn't sound like you're in a different microphone or different room.
Different levels,
right? Or all that, which by the way, can be used towards advantage as a pattern interrupt by increasing volume or lowering the volume, right?
I can't wait to hear more about this list, man.
Yeah, or awesome. Like you can start off with like slightly low volume at like -8 decibel and then like gradually increase the decibel so like it gets louder and louder and louder. Because audio levels, there are, I mean, you go to the theaters, folks, right? There's clearly a different experience when you're in this THX surround sound versus your living room, right? Yeah. So obviously you got to play around with audio as well as a retention tool. there's so much you can go. Like
I can't wait to hear it.
I almost want to call this the North Korean method because it's so coordinated. Like everyone's crying, like everyone's dancing, like you know, it looks like the Kim Jong Il's funeral. Like everyone's crying at will and command. It's like mass hysteria, right? So, anyhow,
if you want to call it that, you can. But I just want everyone to know it's not my. Topic, not my speech. Disclosure.
Right. I might show up to offer launch in like a Kim Jong Un costume. And
oh yeah, perfect.
Yeah. This is how I do it. Yeah. Oh man, so good.
Jeez, man. Well, I'm honestly really excited to have you, man. This is gonna be a lot of fun. And for everyone who's like watching and listening, go get your ticket. Go to offerlaunch.com. Grab your ticket. And we are really excited to have Sam speak. All these interesting ways, like. You know, what I didn't want you to hear from Sam is like, oh, Sam said, tell a story. That's the ingenious insight. No, like you should always that it's all you have so many of these really interesting out of the box ways to increase retention, increase the consumption of the sales message. And I can only imagine what that's done to the bottom line of the webinar as a whole anyway. You know, that's really exciting.
Oh, and you know what I should do? So for those that go to and you guys get your ticket for Off Launch 23, I'm actually going to do this. If it's okay with you, Steve, is I'm going to go put together a checklist that I follow to create my webinars. I'm going to give it away at Alpha Launch. So if you're like, obviously there's no strings attached, I'll give it away. But if you guys want it, I mean, if it's okay with you, Steve, I'll prepare it, bring it to Alpha Launch and you guys will get it as a bonus.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate that like crazy. It's going to be super cool. Yeah,
absolutely. And,
webinars still work, everybody. Very, very well.
Oh yeah.
The bad ones though.
They do. Yes, they do. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I took a huge page of notes here. I'm really excited to have you. And thanks for spending your time with us, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I can't wait till I give rest of the golden nuggets at Offer Launch 23. So be there. And love to hang out with you guys.
Hey, thanks so much, Sam. Appreciate it.
Yep.